Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our associate pastor.
Well, good evening, church family. As Kurt said, my name is Chris. I am the youth pastor with you all, and I am so happy to be with you all tonight. Now, we do have guides available this evening. If you did not get one coming in, just raise your hand real quick, and we will get that to you as quickly as we can. Well, church family, tonight we're going to be touching on the topic, which, as Kurt mentioned as well, is very dear to my heart. We're talking about how to feast on the fruit of Scripture. In other words, how to have a quality, quiet time in the Word. And as that's being passed around, still, I'm going to ask you all a quick question. We just heard two people today, two great families who are blessed with newborn babies today. We're rejoicing in that. But that brings a thought to my mind. A question is this: how do we know? Now, this is rhetorical. I want you to think to yourselves. This is rhetorical. What makes a person an adult? How does someone become from a child to a teenager to an adult? Where does that come? Some might say age. Some say just responsibility. I don't think it's age, because I say a lot of people my age are still like, oh, you're not an adult. You're still eating ramen noodles every single day for lunch. How are you still living? But in my own eyes, someone becomes an adult when they can take care of themselves. A kid is not an adult because you get them out there by themselves, that they're not going to be able to how to feed themselves. They're not going to be able to know how to take care of themselves by clothing themselves, going, doing the laundry. A lot of college students are still working on that part. I knew I was when I was in college. But how do you become an adult? You become an adult when you can take care of yourselves. You can feed yourself. You can clothe yourself. And so on the flip side, the next question is, how do we know we become an adult spiritually? How do we move from being an infant in our salvation into growing into mature men and women of God? Well, I think the answer for me, and I was thinking about this past week, is we can get stuff that we can feed ourselves Scripture. We can feed ourselves spiritually. We're not being spoon-fed the gospel by other people, but we know how to discern truth on our own. That's been always been my prayer in student ministry, that by the time seniors graduate from the time that we have here in high school, they know how to read their Bible on their own. They know how to evangelize on their own. They know how to meditate Scripture. They know how to go live the godly life, live out the gospel in all they do. They know how to be adults spiritually. They know how to feed themselves. And so tonight, one of the big things I want to share with you, the very first line you see there is this: the Bible is alive and wants to speak to you. The Bible wants to speak to us. That was the biggest moment when I realized I was reading Scripture, and it's not just something that you just read like any other textbook you read in school or another novel you read. No, the Bible is a living truth, the Word of God, which flows from it into our hearts. And so if we understand how to study Scripture, as we understand how to discern truth on our own, God will speak to us mightily and greatly through His Word that He has given us. The thing that comes to mind, the verse that comes to mind, you'll write down on the side there, Hebrews 5:12-14 says this. Hebrews 5:12-14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the world of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I'm reading that out of the ESV right there. Feasting on the fruit of Scripture. The idea came was 2 weeks ago. I was out at Adam's Ribs. By the way, I've been here for 6 years. That was my first time I've ever been there. I know, shocking. But I was sitting there eating this big slab of ribs. And I just think about the stories from back when I was in college, and we'll go, me and the boys will go, and we'll just crab all the eat buffet with all the ribs you can eat. And I'll sit there. I remember watching a friend of mine eat all the ribs, and he will stop there, and he was like, I want more ribs. And I look over at his plate, and I realized there is so much more meat left on the bone. Like, you look at him, like, you don't need that type of negativity in your life. Let me just say that. You don't need people like that around who just leave so much meat on the bone and think they're done. And I looked at him, I said, bro, there is so much more meat on that. Many times when I was reading scripture on my own, having my own quiet time, I felt like I was just like that. I felt like I was reading the word, but there was so much more meat on the scripture. There's so much more stuff I can get into. And the reality was, I just did not know how to do it on my own until someone came alongside me and showed me how to have a quality quiet time. So tonight, I'm going to give you all the nuts and bolts of how to get all the meat off the bone of scripture, how to get all of the stuff. How can we feast on the word of God to get everything out of it that we can, because God has given us that word for his glory and for our good. So the first thing we see here, we gotta stop the train real quick and ask, what is the Bible first? The Bible, I'm gonna read it right there real quick. You can follow along the notes there. It's special revelation, which is divine disclosure from God that came to human authors with the Holy Spirit, who produced the original manuscripts, leading to Hebrew and Greek copies, which were then used to create translations. And the result of that is the completely inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God, completely without error, unfailing in his purpose, and the right to command belief and behavior. The Bible came to us as it is today. This is the CSB translation, translated from the Greek and Hebrew text, which was from copies of the original manuscripts, which were written by the biblical authors, which were given the word of God by God himself. So when we read scripture today, the Bible that you read are actually the words of God spoken to man, written for us. So when you read the Bible, you're reading the actual words of God. How incredible is to know that not only does God exist, that he loves us so much he sent Jesus, but not only that, he has revealed himself through scripture, and we actually have what God has given us, his words given through other people, special revelation from God. That is the Bible. And the next thing is, why study the scripture? Why do we study this Bible? First thing is, it's the means to develop spiritual maturity and godly wisdom. It is through studying the word of God that we develop spiritual maturity and godly wisdom, the ability to see life from God's perspective and react and respond to it with his mind. Write down these two verses on the side right there. Philippians 2:5 says this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. And yet again, in 1 Peter 2:2, we read this: like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Have the same mind among you. Grow up into salvation. It is a means of spiritual maturity and godly wisdom. And we get that through God's word in the Bible. Second thing we see, this scripture is the primary means of spiritual growth. And our aim as believers should be to be like Jesus. Romans 8:28-30 says this: and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And goes on from there: so that we can be conformed to the image of his Son. Spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And time again, God says in Scripture that it is the way that we grow into knowing Him is by understanding whom He is as He revealed Himself in Scripture. And thirdly, we see this, the Bible gives the only guidelines to follow for presenting ourselves to God in a manner approved by Him. Romans 12, 1 through 2 goes a little more in depth with that. And finally, we see there is all Scripture is profitable. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God for profitable, for unprofitable, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so what is it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. So we know what to teach. We know what we, when we hear other people come and they share the gospel, or we share the word, like we know exactly, like we know what the gospel is. We know what the right doctrine is because it's found in the Bible. It's not found in the Bible. It's not going to be the right doctrine. Secondly, rebuke for when we are running out of bounds. The Scripture is profitable for bringing us back in when we do things that we shouldn't be doing, or we're doing things that perhaps we don't know we should be doing. The Bible brings us back in bounds for correction, or rebuking and correction for conforming to the image of Christ and training in righteous living. The overall purpose is that we may be thoroughly equipped for God's work. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it goes on from there. So we can be thoroughly equipped for God's work. And so, how do we study the Bible? This is what I wish I knew back when I was in high school, or middle school, or in college for that matter. Side note, this is, a lot of these points are given from an article that Adrian Rogers has given us, and a great, great article, and I'm going to give to you guys a layout on how to study Scripture, because here's the truth, here's the sad reality in my own life. I came to know Christ in seventh grade. I grew up in a Christian home, but it wasn't until seventh grade that I knew that my salvation was only here and not here. And so I made that connection through Christ. And going on from there, I've always been told, study the Bible, have a quiet time. You need to be going and evangelizing. And it wasn't even until I came to college that anyone actually sat down and told me how to have a quiet time. You always hear it in church, you always hear it in one way or another. You get into the Word, but oftentimes what is missed and what I've heard growing up was, how do you actually get into the Word? And there's many times I sit there in Scripture and I know how to do the movements. I look at that and I read it, but I just feel like everyone around me was getting so much out of Scripture. I look at the people next to me who are in church and I feel like they're so much more holy because they're able to read their Bible and to get paragraphs and paragraphs of notes. And over here looking at the Word, I'm kind of like, what is in this that everyone else is getting? And the problem I had was not the fact that the Word wasn't real, the Word wasn't living. The problem was I just never learned how to actually study it. And so, if you have students in here, you have kids in here, I encourage you, implore, sit down with them one day and show them how you study God's Word. And let the truth of what God has revealed to you flow over to them. And so tonight, in the little bit of time that we have left, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to show you what I do when I study the Bible. The first thing is this, I find the proper period. You must find the right time, and it should be your very best time that you have. Don't give the Lord your leftovers, and don't try to find time. You have to make it a priority. Find the proper period to study the Scripture. Psalm 5:3 is one of those written the first page of my book, my notebook I'm going to show you here in a minute. It says, "O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch." The best time for me in the morning is when I get up, I walk downstairs. My alarm goes off. Katarina does not like it sometimes because my alarm I set is a long time before she wakes up. And so I try to do the best, but I always have my alarm set. I never take it off. So I wake up at the same time every single morning, and I get up and I walk downstairs because I know if I don't do it that morning, something's going to come up. And the next thing you know, it's going to be 3 a.m. I'm still watching Netflix and I haven't had my quiet time yet. Have the proper period in time. And you're going to have to make the time. If you wait for the time to come to you, it's not going to happen. You're going to need to step out on your own and to wake up 30 minutes earlier and go to bed earlier to make the time available. You need to have the proper period. And the reason why I do it in the morning is because when you go on a road trip, by the way, you don't go all the way halfway through the trip and then you pull out the map to see where you're going. And then why do we do that in Scripture? Why do we go halfway through the day and then we open up God's Word to see what He's going to give us that day for us to study? No, I do it right in the beginning. I pull the map out right before I get on that trip so I know exactly where I'm headed. And I do that in the morning too. I get to God's Word in the morning because I know that this day is going to be a challenging day. And I know God has probably given me something. I know He's given me something in His Word this morning that's going to give me a roadmap and how to glorify Him. The second thing you see there is proper preparation. What that means is pray to get your focus right. God can help us direct our thoughts toward Him. Two things. We need to be mentally aware, get focused, and know that God is there. And you know, emotion doesn't have to do with that. You just know that God is there because He is there. Be mentally aware. Know that God is here and He's hearing from you. And be morally pure, meaning sometimes we don't have a quiet time because we feel uncomfortable looking to God in the face when there's sin in our lives. So prepare yourself. Spend time in prayer with God well before you open God's Word. Prepare your heart and prepare your soul for the spiritual nourishment, the feasting on the fruit of the Scripture that God's going to have for you that morning. Now, third thing is this, we need the proper place. Not only do we have the time, not only do we sit there, we get prepared spiritually through praying with God, but we also need a proper place of where to go. Some place that is quiet, get alone with God, because there's something about getting alone with someone and giving them your undivided attention. And that's what God wants with us. Now, I am ADD to the max. It is hard sometimes to pay attention to a conversation when there's 20, 30 people around me. I'm just bouncing around, looking around. Not because I didn't want to give attention to that person. It's because that's just me sometimes. And the best thing for me is when I want to give someone my undivided attention, I will go somewhere where I know there's no TVs. I know where there's no one walking around. So I know I can give them everything that I got. And God wants that with us too. And yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting in the Word throughout the day. You're busy and you're in the doctor's appointment or stuff, but there's something important about getting away and there's nothing else around you, getting with God. And have a place, have a prayer closet. I have my couch downstairs. I walk downstairs, I grab my coffee, and I sit down, and now it's great, the time change, because I can actually open my blinds and see outside. It's not dark anymore. So I open up the blinds a little bit. I drink some coffee. I wake myself up, but I always know when I get to that part, I just know I'm just ready to get into the Word. I have my couch downstairs, and that is my place where I study Scripture. Make sure that you have a place in your heart, in your homes, where you can actually go there, and you know it's time to get serious in the Lord when you go there. Something I get out is Psalm 46:10. Mark 1:35. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there Jesus prayed." Jesus consistently removed himself from the busyness of life and spent time in intimate communion with his Father. And so when I get to my place, and I sit down on my couch. I open up the blinds. I get my cup of coffee, and it shows right there, you need the proper provisions ready to go. For me, that includes my coffee, because there's actually been one or two times when I spend time in prayer in the morning. I didn't wake up for another 2 hours. And Katarina wakes me up like, Chris, you're still asleep. And I just know me. I need coffee to wake myself up. But what you need is you need a Bible. I like a study Bible that you take notes with. This is my, it's a big one. It's a study Bible. And what I love about having the proper provisions, what I love about having my study Bible is that it has notes on the bottom. So when I get to a passage which might be a little confusing for me, it has a little bit of explanation right there that helps me go keep going in that passage. And as you see there, I have these bookmarks. Our church has a few in the back. I've been going through them for a few months now. And I just open up to my bookmarks, and I will do bookmark one, Old Testament. So I have it right there, and I know exactly where I'm going at this morning. And I go to the New Testament, finished First Chronicles this morning. That was fun. Then I went into John chapter 10. I'm kicking off tomorrow morning. So I have the right stuff with me. I have my Bible with me. I don't use an iPad. I don't use my phone because people text me. Facebook and Instagram, you know, of course, you have to know what's going on in the world early in the morning before anyone else does. So I make sure I put that away and I focus on this. In fact, my phone is on a silent mode in the morning. So even if texts do come in, even when I'm having my quiet time, I don't hear going off because that's my time with the Lord. And not only do I have my study Bible, I also have my notebook here. I have my proper provision, my journal, that I write down in my journal what is going on in Scripture. So here it is, John 8, and when I was studying that, I'm going to explain to you real quick, actually, in a little bit, what I actually do here, so don't let this be scared to you, but I write down the verse, I write down the date, and I write down what God's been teaching me that morning. Now, not every morning is like that. I'm going to show you an example. Some mornings are less all the way down. Sometimes I just put two or three sentences, like right there. That's just all I got that one morning right there. Depends on what God is speaking to me that morning. But I sit there and I have my journal. You know, what I love about my journal is twofold. One, I can keep my notes in there so I can keep going back and reminding myself what God taught me. Two, in the front page, I have my prayer guide right here. I write down my prayer requests each day, each week. I write down exactly who I'm praying for, what I'm praying for to help remind me, because I'm a forgetful person sometimes. I don't write down a prayer request, I forget. So I write down them right there. And something, and there's my Mark 135 verse, by the way. And something I do as well on this page right here, I have a little sketch notebook right here. Because for the weirdest, oddest reason, where I'm about to sit down in my quiet time, I think about the most random things I need to do. I think Kurt mentioned it once. One day he sat down, he looked at his blinds, he was just about getting the word. It's like, man, my blinds are dusty. I probably need to do that right now. The craziest things come to mind, and sometimes they're spiritual, sometimes they're just completely out there, like, ooh, I forgot to take something out of the dishwasher last night, which happens often in my case. So what I do is I have a little thing right there, and in fact, my first thing, I don't think Amy's here, I said, get photo from Amy. I had to get a photo from Amy for a promotion on the church bulletin, you know, I forgot. So I remember that for some reason, the Spirit spoke to me, and right here, I talked about people I need to talk to. One of the students who are in line to get baptized wrote down there, and I realized in the morning, I sat down, I got into God's Word, and I realized, ooh, I didn't get a chance to talk to her yesterday at youth. And so before I forget, I write it down real quick. Now, I don't follow that monkey, by the way. I wait till after I do my quiet time, because oftentimes, even though it's a good thing, that can take you away from your quiet time. So that's why I have a journal notebook right there, which helps me with that. Have the proper provisions. Get your stuff ready to get into God's Word. That is heavy. I'm gonna put that down there. And now here is the meat of what happens, the proper procedure. Get still and quiet. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and quiet. And read the Bible not for quantity, but for the quality of the time that you have. I know that the biggest struggles I have is I try to go through a whole Bible in the year, and I try to go through as much as I can, but I'm not really getting meat out of it, because I'm not really meditating on the Scripture. And if we're trying to study the Bible through the year and we're just focusing on getting through the Bible in the year, no, that's a great thing that you're getting into Word, but there's so much more meat that we can be getting out of it. Focus on the quality, not on the quantity. And if you get nothing else out of tonight, this is it. It's not going to be on your notes right there, but this is the point. Start asking your Bible questions. Start asking your Bible questions. The Bible wants to speak to you. God wants to use the Bible to speak to you. So start asking him questions. And so the first thing I do is observation. When I get to the Bible, I open it up. The first thing is I observe what the passage is saying and describing. What is going on? And you go, now who wrote this passage? What's going on? Who's speaking? What's going on? Where is this happening? When is this happening? Why is this happening? How will this happen altogether? I observe the passage. I just look through it quick. I read the whole passage together and I ask myself a question. What is happening? I try to observe exactly what's going on. And I observe what's happening before the passage and I observe what's happening after the passage. Because the whole Bible is meant to be read all together. It's a part of a huge grand narrative of Scripture, and we may be taking a small piece out of it, but it's part of a major whole. It's like you go into a conversation and you walk in with somebody, as a Katerina once said, you walk in before and they're having a conversation, you walk in, you have absolutely no idea what's happening. It's awkward, and they're like having a conversation, they laugh, you try to laugh with them, and they're looking at you weird because they know you don't know what's going on. Not that I know from experience. Like, it's awkward jumping in the middle of a movie. It's awkward jumping in the middle of a conversation. When we jump into Scripture sometimes, we're jumping in the middle of something that's already happening. So understand, observe what's happening in the passage you're reading. Second thing is, after I observe, I spend some time asking who, what, when, where, why, how, I go into the interpretation. The second point there, observation, then interpretation. Understand the overall meaning of the passage. What does this mean? And something Pastor has mentioned in the past before and is a great tool that I use is the word speck, S-P-E-C-K. You meditate on the Scripture and you ask your questions. You ask, is there a sin for me to confess or to avoid in this passage? S. Is there a sin to confess or avoid? The P, is there a promise to claim? E, is there an example to follow? What example is given a passage that I need to follow along? C, is there a command to obey? And K, is there knowledge about God, new truth to carry with me? Is there a sin to confess, a promise to keep, example to follow, command to obey, and knowledge about God? Speck. And I ask myself this question each morning, and that is where the meat of where I get in every single passage is that stuff. As I read it, I understand it, I paraphrase it, and then I asking those questions as I'm writing this through. What are some things I can get out of this? And it just doesn't end there. Once I take the time, I chew on the meat of it, I ask the Bible questions, I try to figure out what is happening, then I learn to apply to my life. Application. How does this passage apply to you? What are some actions you need to take in order to apply God's word directly into your life? Because the words on the pages of your Bible were never meant to stay there. They're meant to be lived out in our lives. Katerina shares this often. I say Katerina because she's been one of the greatest helps in my marriage, being able to, you know, she's so much into the Word. And she, being a basketball coach, she put it this way is, you never just practice every single day. Who wants to practice every single day for a basketball game but never be in the game itself? I mean, you don't practice just to practice. You practice to get into the game, to actually go shoot the hoop. Same thing in Scripture. Why do we read Scripture on our own? Just to read it. Let's read it to apply it to our lives. Let's read it. Let's practice, get in the Word, and let's apply it in our lives. Let's get into the game that God has given us, this game called life, as cliche that sounds. How does this passage apply to you? Write down a few words on how you need to live this out to your life. And then finally, you pray over this passage. You pray over what you wrote. You look over your notes. You understand what's happening in the scripture. You looked at it. You asked it questions. And then you pray about the passage. One quick thing is ACTS, A-C-T-S. You adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration, tell God how great he is, why he's great, and how much we love him. Confession, acknowledge to God any known sin. Thanksgiving, thank God for all the grace and forgiveness in our lives. And supplication, ask God for things that we want or things that we desire. Pray the verse back to God. And last two things, obey what God tells you. Obey. Simple as that. And then share it with others. The final one, F, share. God did not make us to be a container. He made us to be conduits, a channel from which things flow. So tell others what God is showing you. I never had anyone share this plan with me when I was growing up. That's why discipleship is so key in any believer's life growing. To come alongside, I want to show them exactly how do you study scripture. That's what a disciple is. You show them how you read the Bible. You show them how you have quiet time. You show them how you memorize scripture. But guess what? This takes time. I'm not going to cherry coat it. It does take time to do this. And it will take a little bit of sacrifice because you're going to have to go to bed earlier at night. You're going to have to say no to that late night television show that you watch every single evening so you can get an amount of rest to wake up in the morning. But guess what? It is worth it. This past week, I finished with this. I've been studying in Exodus. We're doing a new series in youth called The Name, talking about the name of God. And something hit me so hard when I was reading Exodus 33. Moses has just come down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. He comes outside the camp and he sees all the people of Israel worshiping this idol that they made, this golden calf they made out of golden jewelry. And so he gets mad. He crushes the Ten Commandments. And God was going to just destroy them right there. So Moses goes before God on behalf of the people and helps God and talks to God and helps them relent from the anger. And God says, all right, then I'm going to have you go into the promised land. I'm going to have you go into the land that I have promised you. But I'm not going to go with you. God says, I'm not going to go with you because I'm going to fear I'm going to destroy you if I went with you because you are a stubborn people. Then Moses, now understand what was going on. God gave Moses everything he wanted, no strings attached. I will give you blessings. I will give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you prosperity. I'm going to give you security. I'm going to give you all that. I'm just not going to be there with you. But Moses turned around and said to God, unless you go with me, I will not go. Because Moses saw God not just as useful, but as beautiful. He says, God, I'm going to go all in with you, 100%. I'm going to hold nothing back in my life. Because the most miserable people in the world are the ones that have one foot in the door of Christianity and one foot in the door of the world. Because they, when they're in the world, they feel guilty. But yet, when they're in Christianity, they feel like they're just not there yet. They're straddling. Go all in. It takes time. It takes commitment. But when we go all in with God and give him all of our attention and spend time studying God's word, it is an incredible thing. And it'll start to 5 minutes. Then it goes to 20, 30. Next thing you know, you're going to be spending an hour in God's word, chewing on the meat, feasting on the fruit that God has given you. And you're going to be left wanting more.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.